Chapter 3. Concert at the Club. Waking up to find her cheerful partner absent from bed, Vaggie got dressed and made her way to the lobby, having already gone through this before. It seemed the other residents of the hotel had the same idea. They formed a crowd around their manic leader, spectating at the stress-filled chaos in front of them.
"What the devil is she doing?"
a rather diminutive anglerfish demon called out in condescending frustration. He had a grayish-blue skin with dark blue piscine hair and fins for ears. He was one of the new arrivals at the hotel, a self-proclaimed scientist, clad in a black lab coat and oversized yellow spectacles that he was currently clutching on to get a better look at what he was observing in front of him.
"Ah, fuck off, Baxter."
The pint-sized sinner was quickly shoved aside by a more senior member of the hotel. Angel Dust, the spindly spider slut and former drug addict, a fact he was proud of, was casually enjoying a popsicle that he sucked on sensually out of habit, and looked on at the commotion in a mixture of boredom and interest.
"Ooh, the bad boy came out of his room!"
came a sharp shrill that was bolting towards Baxter. The source was the equally diminutive one-eyed maid of the hotel, Nifty. His eyes widened in alarm as he ceased his gawking for more pressing matters.
"Oh no, not you again!"
he shrieked as Nifty crashed into him with her arms wide. He tried desperately to pry his unwanted admirer off, only for her to cackle all the way through. It devolved into them wrestling on the floor while Baxter cursed and Nifty continued to laugh. Meanwhile, Husk, the hotel bartender and literal bar cat, observed this idiocy in tired annoyance. He was far too sober to be dealing with this, and corrected this issue by drinking out of a flask. Upon noticing him, Angel Dust moved to greet his friend, Husk.
"Heya, Whiskers,"
he crooned in a slightly sultry tone, another force of habit for him. Husk simply greeted him with a neutral but subtly pleased grunt.
"All right, move along, people."
Vaggie attempted to break the crowd and let herself through so she could see what was going on. What greeted her made Vaggie both sad and disappointed for Charlie. Charlie paced back and forth in the hotel lobby, having not had any sleep the night prior. What she was pacing around was a board with magazine articles, promotional material, social media posts, and other pieces of information, all centered around one subject. Adam.
"So angels can come back and go to hell. How is this possible? Who knows?"
Charlie was mumbling in a delirious state. Clearly the lack of sleep had gotten to her.
"What's his next move? What's he planning? If he and that girl can come back, what if every exorcist that died did too? What are we gonna do?"
Charlie clutched at her messy, disheveled hair in the middle of her incoherent rambling.
"Morning, Charlie! How are we on this beautiful hellish day?"
The King of Hell made his grand entrance, as always down the stairs, posing after his performance.
"Oh! What's going on here?"
Lucifer quickly rushed towards his daughter, grabbing and pacing around her, erratically inspecting every inch of the unkempt princess.
"Are you okay? You don't look okay. Did you get any rest? Did you eat? 'Cause Daddy can get some hot towels and pancakes going. You just say the word,"
Lucifer offered in rapid succession.
"No, Dad, I'm fine,"
Charlie replied to calm down her showman father.
"Ah, okay then,"
Lucifer quietly mumbled. He turned his head, and it was then that he noticed the board his darling daughter was working on. He gave it a look of unimpressed disgust before turning back to his daughter.
"He isn't bothering you, is he? Because I can teach him another lesson."
Lucifer smacked a fist on his hand as his voice suddenly turned deep and gravelly.
"No, no, nothing like that, Dad,"
Charlie awkwardly replied.
"I'm just trying to figure out his next move and where he might be after we last met."
"Oh, if it's just that, then..."
Lucifer was quickly interrupted by a red, deer-eared annoyance that materialized in the room.
"Perhaps I can be of assistance,"
Alistair announced in a transatlantic accent, overlaid by distorted radio static.
"Oh, It's you.
Was Lucifer's unimpressed and annoyed response, glaring at the radio demon.
I found this during one of my delightful strolls in town.
Alistair procured a poster in his hands. It was an advertisement by one of the popular clubs in the entertainment district, promoting a performance by Adam's band, Dawnbringer, taking place during the night.
Alistair, that's amazing!
Charlie shouted in excitement, while her father looked on in anger. Her problem finally had a solution.
Well, that's wonderful, Charlie, but I think you'll need someone that had more success with our old buddy Adam.
Lucifer tapped at Alistair's chest with his apple-themed cane in a manner that suggested playfulness, but still had an air of hostility. He made sure to strike at his angelic steel-afflicted wound, causing the radio demon to wince and clutch at his chest in pain, much to his amusement. As the two men squabbled, Vaggy quickly interjected.
I'll go with you, Charlie. You're right, we have to deal with this problem now. Who knows what he's up to?
Hell won't be the same once I unleash this on them.
The feathers on Adam's chest and wings ruffled like a beast, his eyes holding a bright amber glow in the dark of the hideout to pair with his fanged grin. Lightning crackled around Adam's arms as his axe guitar materialized, the magma-like veins pulsating with energy. He played a powerful tune, causing shockwaves in the bunker. Once finished, he grinned in ominous satisfaction at the effort.
Fucking sick! This mixtape is gonna be awesome!
Adam turned off the makeshift recording equipment in the bunker, having finished the song compilation. He held the completed cassette tape in the air in pride and strutted across the room.
I'm telling you, once you hand these out in our next show, word will spread and our legion will grow.
Gigi remarked in an emboldened but matter-of-fact tone, drawing from his own life experiences. Today, he was wearing a stall helm with holes specifically cut out to make way for his horns. He boasted of taking this from some sinner soldier after he beat him up in a brawl some time ago.
Now hold on, we still have a gig to prepare for tonight, and we still haven't found a way to mass-produce these things.
Johnny tried to remind his bandmates before they did something too hasty.
Oh yeah, isn't it a big one too? Being held at one of my favorite hangout spots too.
Laby mused. She placed a finger on her ever-smiling mouth as she daydreamed, pleased at the prospect of performing at a popular club she regularly frequented.
Hey, boss man, which outfit makes me look hotter?
Laby said coyly, suggestively posing for Adam's viewing pleasure. Before Adam could give his opinion, someone else chimed in.
Go with the black one that has your ass out!
Gigi practically yelled from the room. Somehow you could tell from Johnny's featureless cow skull face that he was not amused in the slightest.
You know what? I'll fish the closet for that one.
Laby agreed, voicing her approval of the suggestion. Behind her, Adam sported a lascivious grin, signifying that he too approved of the idea.
All right, since that's sorted, call up our guys to set up the show.
Adam instructed Gigi, who was just to his left at the time. While the scarlet-skinned sinner was about to make his phone call, a banging noise came from the entrance of the hideout.
Who the fuck is that?
Adam called in annoyance, making his way to the front door, scowling the entire time. No one could have known where they were. It was deep underground, and further in the tunnels, too. He swore that if it was one of the junkies again, he'd scorch their head off. Just like the old days. Back when he was someone worth something.
Okay, to whatever freak dared to interrupt my jam session, this better be worth it or I'll shove your head up your own ass.
Adam practically growled to the door. In front of him was a dorky-looking loser. He had silver and blue scales like a tuna fish, and yellow hair that Adam couldn't discern from his fins. He wore a red turtleneck with a stylized blue V logo embroidered on it.
Good afternoon. My name is Elias, and I'm here to represent my employer, the biggest media mogul in hell. he would like to extend an opportunity to you and your associates, since I was told you're a newcomer here."
The weirdo spat in a clearly rehearsed manner. Meanwhile, Leiby was strutting towards him with a flicker of interest in her eye, circling him like a shark in water.
"So, Eli, was it? You came all the way here just to see me? You looking for some fun, fish boy?"
Leiby was practically stroking his hair, her eyes locked onto him like a tigress.
No, my name is Elias, ma'am."
The toady's silver scales began to turn red like a lobster in boiling water as he stammered all over the place. Clearly he was flustered by Lady Anne's advances.
"Hey, sushi face, here's my answer."
While Elias was distracted, Gigi grabbed the sides of his head and shoved his face towards his crotch. Unfortunately for the poor sinner, Gigi was only wearing a pair of black briefs today.
"I don't know who you think I am, but a sellout isn't one of them."
Adam chuckled, laughing at the nerdy sinner's torment. After a few minutes, Gigi let up and Elias was able to finally breathe. His scales flushed with sweat as Gigi's phone rang, prompting the depraved drummer to let him go. Gigi's face went from confusion to disbelief, then annoyance.
"Hey, Adam. Rex just called to tell us the sound technician's dead. Like, shot through the skull with a holy bullet dead."
Gigi informed in an almost cynical tone.
"Seriously? What the fuck? We have to perform in 6 hours and that idiot got himself killed? Who did he even piss off?"
Adam spat in frustration, earning an immediate reply from Gigi.
"How the fuck should I know?"
Gigi hollered back in anger. Meanwhile, the aquatic annoyance on their doorstep dusted off his sweater and recomposed himself in confidence.
"It seems you gentlemen are in need of a new technician, and luckily for you, that happens to be part of my skill set."
Elias mustered in the most confident tone he could. The entire band looked at him with suspicion. Clearly the timing was too convenient to be a coincidence.
"You know what? You're lucky we need someone right now. You're hired!"
Adam was shocked and almost impressed at this guy's sheer audacity. Maybe he wasn't a total dork after all, and he couldn't deny that he could use someone like that on his crew right about now. Vaggy clutched her angelic spear right as she guided Charlie through the neon entrance of the nightclub. This was not how she wanted to spend her evening. Surrounding her were blinding sensations that overstimulated her heaven-born sensibilities, a constant barrage of sinful sights and sounds, all the time. Of course, this is where that perro, Adam, would hang out. She didn't understand why her girlfriend would want to see the first douchebag again. He rejected her the first time she offered. He didn't even want redemption, and she doubted he would ever want to stay at the hotel. If it were up to her, she'd let him burn in this hellhole. He was finally cast down to the place he belongs, as the demon he always was, and she was fine with that outcome. But if you asked her beloved Charlie, the idealistic hellborn princess, too pure for the pit she came from, she would often remind her how everyone deserves a second chance, even enemies. And Vaggy swore to support and protect her and her dreams. This would be like one of their many, many failed trips to convince sinners to redeem themselves, and she would be ready to strike him down if he did anything. Vaggy led them both to a table with a clear center view of the stage, tense for who exactly would be performing on it momentarily. The club, even for its popularity, was unusually crowded. There were rows and rows of writhing demons, their eyes and teeth ominously glowing on their shadowy forms on the dimly lit dance floor.
"I think the show is going to start soon,"
Charlie whispered to Vaggy, pulling her out of the thoughts. And she was correct as the stage came to life, the lights slowly erupting to unveil the silhouettes on stage.
"Hello, you sinful motherfuckers!"
An obnoxious and unfortunately very familiar voice called out to the raving cheers of the crowd being addressed. He wore a deliberately tattered denim jacket with spikes covering it over a pair of black jeans with a belt buckle engraved with a fig leaf pattern, as if subtlety was out of the question. And oh, how demonic he looked. Wine-red horns protruded from the top of his skull. His wings were no longer any semblance of holy, but instead gave the impression of a predatory bird. His eyes, which were a shining yellow with white irises that struck at you, they scanned the crowd as his fanged mouth gave a smug grin. Vaggie grit her teeth, scowling as those arrogant eyes locked onto her direction before bringing its attention elsewhere.
All right, let's rock this shithole!
Adam yelled to the audience as if making a declaration to his infernal admirers. The demons surrounding him on stage began first. That was odd. Adam was usually too egotistical to have anyone but himself start the song. A man with a cow skull for a head that looked like he came out of the countryside like some inbred hillbilly started on bass while some crimson-colored degenerate who didn't hear about the concept of a shirt bashed the drums. The loudmouth prick himself finger-banged his guitar like the overcompensating idiot he was, while a scantily clad skank trailed behind him as they danced around in song. The song was some whiny spiel bitching and moaning about hell, sounding like some sacrilegious mixture of church choir and rock and roll. But somehow the entire club of wretched souls was loving it, causing an orgy of violence and debauchery and commotion for it. The blue-skinned puta, wearing little leather pieces of nothing, exposing her body for all to see on backup guitar, backed the boorish pig during all of this like an over-glorified floozy. Wait. Hold on. She looked familiar. Was she Lady Anne? Seriously? Vaggie's face quickly soured at seeing an old colleague of hers, in the nicest terms possible. Lady was back. Fantastic. Just peachy. Still sucking up to Adam as always, even after damnation, just like the rest of her sisters. Vaggie's tongue tasted something bitter at the recollection of her time in the Corps and the implication of any camaraderie or familial connection. As the thankfully former exorcist crossed her arms, clearly not enjoying any of her time here, her partner and superior, Charlie, the cherished source of her devotion, was oddly unfazed by all this. Albeit slightly nervous, Vaggie didn't know whether it was because she was used to the quirks, as Charlie put it, of her home, or because she attended one of his rowdy concerts before. She should have been there the first time she did.
Thank you, you're all fucking awesome! Just sit right there, because we'll be back after the break!
Adam gave a series of false gratitude, like he always did after a performance, earning screams of him to get the fuck back here from the clubgoers. But this time was different. He never had a crowd this rowdy in heaven, this fanatical for him, except for the exorcists.
Charlie, here's our chance. We need to know what he's up to.
Vaggie dragged Charlie backstage, with the princess being surprised but unfazed as she slid across the floor. Vaggie violently kicked the door in with her strong, well-developed legs, taking the entire band by surprise.
Okay, who the fuck is it now?
Adam yelled in annoyance as he glanced over. He saw exactly who it was. A nervous princess giving him an awkward smile and her wench, the lamest buzzkill his army had ever harbored.
Oh, great. It's you,
Adam said in exasperation.
What do you want now?
Adam barely had the energy to be annoyed and took a slurp of his beer, barely acknowledging the two women.
Well, you didn't really let me explain the last time, but...
Charlie began her piece before being cut off.
What are you planning, asshole? Because I don't buy this whole man of the people shtick you have going on.
Vaggie pointed her spear at Adam's chest, having half a mind to just charge at him. It didn't matter that he towered over her. She'll do it herself this time around.
Who, me? I'm just here to rock out and fuck bitches. What's it to you?
Adam retorted in his usual smarmy manner. Meanwhile, Lady reached into her guitar case and pulled out an angelic steel pole arm, rushing to point it at Vaggie.
Back off the boss man!
Lady Anne sneered, her eyes locked onto the traitor as their angelic arms clashed.
And you. Look at you, Lady Anne, dressed like a cheap whore. At least you like the floozy you are now.
Vaggie venomously spat at her former comrade.
Whore? Me? I'm not the one that sucked some royal bitch off the first chance I got just to survive. I made it all on my own.
Laby bit back, laying it with condescending false offense.
I see. It's no surprise you two adjusted to Hell's culture pretty quick. You're finally where you belong.
Adam visibly winced at Vaggie's statement, his expression quickly turning to scorn.
Okay, bitch. I don't give a fuck that I'm not in heaven anymore. I'm still the greatest rock star in all creation. Meanwhile, what the fuck have you done? You're some worthless cunt. Still worth nothing.
Adam seethed in pure hate.
That's not okay to say to someone at all.
Charlie interrupted the spat. Her red horn stuck out of her temples as her eyes glimmered red, getting in between Vaggie, Adam, and Laby.
Pardon me, miss. I apologize for my bandmate's behavior. They can get defensive sometimes. I don't think we've been properly acquainted. My name is John C. Daniels, but you can call me Johnny.
Adam's bassist gave a handout in diplomacy, diffusing the situation. At the surprising friendliness, Charlie immediately took it, happy that at least someone here was really nice.
Oh, I'm Charlie Morningstar. It's nice to meet you. Sorry for not properly introducing myself.
Charlie shook his hand, glad to make a friend in all of this.
It's fine, Your Highness.
Johnny's attention shifted towards Vaggie.
I don't think I've met you before. Who might you be?
It's Vaggie. Vag-gie.
The red-bloused angel replied in a deadpan manner.
No, it's fine. Just call me Charlie.
The idealistic princess and struggling hotelier corrected before turning her attention back to Adam.
You kicked me out before I could really explain myself. I know we've had our conflicts, and despite your douchebaggery, other than you threatening and slaughtering my people, I never really had it out for you specifically. And since you're one of them now, and you seem to be floundering, despite everything, I'd like to help you out in any way possible. What do you say?
Charlie extended her arm out to Adam and mustered a strained but sincere smile, her eyes full of sympathy. But instead of seeing a compassionate young woman willing to help her worst enemy, Adam instead flicked between visions of a pre-fall Lucifer right before him, offering him the apple that would be the doom of him and his descendants. He was confused at first, but his eyes quickly gave an expression of a cornered animal.
No! Just no, I don't need some loser's help. I'm Adam. This is nothing for me. I'll be fine on my own. I'm thriving here, for fuck's sake.
He quickly spat out in agitation, but before he could rant further, his bandmate Johnny stepped in.
Hey, Adam, she seems really sincere about this. I've seen the flim-flam, snake-eyed look of her daddy before, and you probably did too, but this ain't it. I reckon you should give her a chance.
Johnny assured Adam. Adam thought about it for a second, conflicted as the crowd outside rioted for another performance.
Tell you what, I doubt I'll be checking in anytime soon, but have this so you don't surprise me next time.
Next time?
Charlie asked in confusion before Adam shoved a handful of tickets and backstage passes into her hands. Her eyes beamed as if they were winning lottery tickets.
Thank you so much. I don't know what to say.
Charlie quietly exclaimed in gratitude, restraining herself from jumping up and down.
Yeah, whatever, princess. All right, guys, let's get back on stage. I don't think we can keep them waiting for much longer.
At Adam's command, the band marched back to perform, and Charlie beckoned Vaggie to leave as well, out of courtesy. While it may have been naive, Charlie hoped this would be the rocky start to a new friendship.